Okay, please introduce yourself for the record, and the floor is yours.
For the record, I'm Casey Kripka, Marketing Director for Upward Oregon. Next to me is Casey Anderson. She's our account director at Thesis, our marketing agency of record for both Embark and Oregon Able. And I know we have some time limitations. We're trying to keep it short and sweet. It's on. I'll talk louder. I've never ever been asked to do that before. So press it again.
Oh, okay. We're going to be reviewing, Ms. Anderson will be reviewing our high-level strategies and campaign highlights for Embark and Oregon Able in Q2. I'm going to chime in at the end as time allows and, of course, answer any questions that either of the boards may have.
Nifty. Ms. Anderson.
Good afternoon, members of the board. As Casey mentioned, my name is Casey Anderson, and for the record, we all spelled the same way.
Okay, well, I wasn't really looking at it. I was thinking of the fact that it's Representative Anderson in the House spells it differently than Senator Anderson.
Gotcha.
And so.
That's right.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. I appreciate it.
And I'm an account director.
Corrected.
Yes, and I'm an account director at Thesis Agency, and I'm excited to share a few highlights from our Q2 marketing efforts. Q2 was focused on meeting families at moments when they were ready to engage with Embark. With our strategy centered around educating, engaging, and ultimately converting families into savers. On the education side, we had the Embark Now campaign activation at the Oregon Zoo. It allowed us to bring the brand to life and connect directly with families of young children. The goal was to capture video footage for the Embark Now campaign, which launched in Q3. So next quarter, you'll get to see a lot more about the Embark Now campaign. We also leaned into timely moments like graduation and 529 day to give families relevant reasons to engage with Embark and contribute to their accounts. And at the same time, we introduced a new prospecting paid search campaign designed to reach people who are actively researching 529 plans, creating a more direct path to conversion. The most important result of the quarter was the continued account growth. There were 3,042 new accounts in Q2, which is up 29% year over year. So we're really happy with that growth, continued growth. And so in the next couple slides, we're going to take a look at two of those efforts that I mentioned in a little bit more detail. The first highlight, Missy, if you go to the next slide, is our prospecting campaign, which was one of our stronger account conversion stories for Q2. We launched this paid search campaign in mid-April to reach people who were actively researching 529 plans, like I mentioned earlier. The goal was to capture that high-intent audience and position Embark as the clear choice. The campaign generated over 28,000 impressions and 5,000 clicks with a very strong 19% click. We saw 198 accounts open during that 2.5 months of the quarter. So we're going to continue keeping this campaign going. One of the clearest takeaways was the strength of the keyword Oregon 529, which emerged as a leading search term that reinforced that we were reaching people who were already in market and actively comparing their options. So this strong example of the convert portion of our Q2 strategy, prospecting did more than drive traffic. It reached high intent users and helped turn them in interest into new accounts.
Just like a little bit of information to maybe give you some context there. We built out a new landing page. So for folks who are actively researching maybe what the best 529 or savings option is for them for higher education, who are maybe looking at other state plans or different private options for their families, those folks were then redirected to a landing page on our site, which shared some of the core benefits of our program, including that over the lifetime of a plan, if you start young enough, you could be losing out on $11,000 in tax benefits with our tax credit. So it was like a very thoughtfully designed landing page for folks who were already primed in that consideration phase of trying to figure out like where they wanted to open an account. So we were pretty pleased with the results, and I think we're going to iterate off of it to capture various audiences for different things moving forward.
Yeah, the landing page was really successful. It really clearly laid out comparing your different options and really had a lot of success. So we're going to be taking that information other places this year and next. All right. So let's take a look at the next example or highlight we have for this quarter, which is the 5 to 9 day sweepstakes, which is a great example of engagement to action approach. So we used email, SMS, paid search, and organic social to support a short 4 day sweepstakes designed to increase awareness, grow our owned audiences, and encourage contributions. So let's take a look at what we did. So we had over 90,000 impressions. We reached over 72,000 people with a 31% engagement rate. We saw over 1,000 unique entries, which about 30% of the people who came to our landing page signed up for the sweepstakes. So we're really happy with that. And importantly, engagement translated into real financial action. One element of the sweepstakes was for account holders to create a contribution, an additional contribution during this period of time. And we there was $13,700 in contributions in those 4 days that, in our opinion, probably wouldn't have happened. So there were additional contributions outside of what they already had planned. So really excited with that. Again, it was a small, short 4 day sweepstakes, but we're really happy with the results. And then in addition to all those great numbers, what was also valuable is that our impact extended beyond the 4 day window. The sweepstakes grew our newsletters, SMS, and social audiences, giving us more time to reach people who were interested. So we're really excited by that. So if the prospecting demonstrated our strength of conversion, the 5 to 9 demonstrated timely engagement. So together they show how the Q2 strategy worked across the funnel, reaching people at the right moment, giving them a reason to act, and ultimately converting families to savers. All right. Before we wrap up, I want to briefly highlight Oregon Able's performance over the first half of the year. The strongest story here continues to be the account growth. As we all know, the last two quarters, we saw a great bump. We had over 1,271 new accounts, with representing a 40% growth compared to the same period last year. So in addition to all the great things around the age adjustment, we have been really trying to improve our efficiency on our media, really narrowing down our media mix to the channels that are performing best. And we're able to garner great results with that approach. You can see on this slide the highest performing creative assets that ran across Q2, our Q2 marketing mix. And I'd say really the key takeaway for Oregon Able is that we are continuing to see meaningful account growth while becoming more efficient in how we invest media dollars. The first half of the year gives us a strong foundation to continue refining and refining our mix and concentrating our spend where we see the greatest return. So overall,
really well said. And I think the digital marketing piece of what we're doing with Able is only one piece of how we're kind of getting the message out and supporting the program. And so it's a lot of on the ground efforts, which the treasurer has been speaking to throughout the meeting. So the work with ODDS is continuing, building out those relationships, those trainings. There's going to be more efforts underway as we expand that partnership. Additionally, our grant program is underway and there's a strong focus on Able this year. So we've already seen some really great community-based organizations speaking to their communities about Able, like Northwest Access Fund and Central Oregon Disability Support Network. So that's been really great. We're seeing some promising results from those collaborative efforts. And then, I mean, I'm just delighted to see that we continue to see 30% of our new funded accounts coming in from that new Able age adjustment eligible age. I think it's been pretty consistent this year, and I think that holds true. We've been doing a lot of things on the festival side of the house as well to talk to those interest groups who are taking the eligibility quiz on our website. It's capturing lots of contacts that way, people who are actively signing up to receive information from us on Able Age Adjustment. So it's been lots of multi-partner collaboration to make sure that we're reaching all the audiences that we can. And I think we're seeing that pay out with account growth. So my sincere thanks to the board, but also our team here for all their hard work this quarter. I think it's been really great.
Great. Ms. Timonen, you had a question.
Yeah, thank you. I was just curious, like the 529 account, is there competition from neighboring states? I think there is, right? Mm-hmm. And then who is your biggest competition, if you know? And then with the Able account, is that just internally to Oregon, or is that also interstate?
Yeah, kind of? I'll answer the second part first, which is yes, you have to be in Oregon to open an ABLE account. We do have an ABLE for All plan, which is our national plan. So folks who don't live in the state can open an ABLE for All plan, and folks from anywhere in the United States can open ABLE for All. We do have competition with other states for our 529 plan. Folks can open one in any state that they want to. They can shop around for the best, you know, return on investment or rates, or generally speaking, I think if your state has a pretty strong tax advantage or tax benefit, folks tend to stick within your state to claim that tax benefit, but not everybody knows that we have one. So we try to make that a really like core part of our communication strategy, making sure folks know they're going to be missing out on that money every single year. It's money back in their pocket from a really generous refundable tax credit.
And that's if you stay, if the money stays in Oregon versus I want to go to Utah or something like that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. So that's the benefit of staying in the state of Oregon.
Yeah, it's one of them. But I think, you know, as you can see from, we just had a whole conversation about how thoughtfully our investments are run. I think we're just a really, I think we take a thoughtful approach. Things are really well thought out. We try to make things very simple, and we have lots of fun ways to engage. A lot of states, you know, work with some similar program administrators, but we have like a really robust gifting platform where communities can get involved and actually contribute to people's accounts, which is a real advantage, I think. And we also have a really unique connectivity to Bottle Drop. So folks can not do that anywhere else with any other plans, have their recycling count towards
That's really creative. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Such a painless way. Senator Anderson.
Thank you. I recognize I may not be the target audience.
You have grandchildren, Senator. Yes.
Again, not target audience.
It can also be on our paid ads. So there's. So,
yeah. Could you either.
Yeah.
Remind us where.
Yeah, sure.
Where and how this marketing is going. Quite honestly, I haven't seen.
Yeah. I'll let Casey answer that, but I also just want to direct you to the appendix. I think we have a glossary of terms in the appendix too, which could be helpful in just kind of grounding it. We try not to use too much jargon, but it's kind of unavoidable to a certain extent.
Yeah. So we have a pretty large mix in our marketing, but when we say clicks in general, it means that somebody clicked on something we put out there to go to the website, and we hope they're staying there to learn more. Sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes somebody might accidentally click on an ad or an email or an SMS that we send them and go to it and then like, oh, I don't have time to look at this and leave. So we do look at our website traffic and see how much like our ads are, if people are leaving and they're not the right people that we're targeting or something along those lines. We do keep our eyes on that, but that's what a click means. So whatever we put out there, and it's a wide variety, we do it all.
Like Google search. So when you're searching for something online and ads pop up, it could be a Google search ad, or it could be a social media ad, or it could be a post on one of our social media accounts.
I'm sure that my throwing out the pitch generated lots of clicks.
It did. It was great.
I was teasing. I did not expect that at all.
Yeah, so the prospecting campaign I mentioned was a paid search. So the idea was somebody is coming and they're like, I want to what kind of 529s are available for me? So we are targeting, was looking for people who live in Oregon or in the Oregon area looking for 529. We wanted them to see our ad that was very clearly using copy that was like, we are that reason. You get a tax credit, whatever it is. So they clicked on it and then they went to a landing page that explained why Embark was compared to a savings account or compared to other accounts that would other people use for savings. So that campaign was a new one we launched this quarter, and it performed really well. We had 198 accounts open by clicking on those ads, going to that landing page, and then going to set up an account in the 2.5 month period. So that strategy was a new one we rolled out that we're going to continue to target that specific audience. We were already doing paid search, but we had different campaigns and different types. This was a new, very targeted campaign that we did. So that hopefully that helps explain that one campaign. But I'd say just overarching, Embark is doing a wide variety of tactics, blogs on their website, email. We send emails to our account holders and the non-account holders that we have. SMS, we send text messages to those people who are signing up to receive information. We have organic social, so just on our social feeds, but we do paid social, paid videos on, like if you're watching a streaming something on streaming, there'll be some videos on there. Or if you're on YouTube and you see an ad, we're kind of everywhere.
And out of home.
And out of home.
Like billboards.
We do have a billboard. We were at the zoo. We try to be in person. So we're kind of, we try to be a lot of places. We want to be where Oregonians can see us. Yeah.
There are a lot of streetcars wrapped with Embark, or there
have been. There are still streetcars from last year wrapped with Embark branding.
I know you don't have streetcars, but we do in my neighborhood. My neighborhood is full of streetcars, and I see them all the time, and they say Embark.
I like them when they show up in other people's Instagrams.
Oh, yeah.
There's our streetcar just randomly in the background.
Yes. OPB, we show up, we're on OPB ads, so on the radio, on their TV as well. We have some placements there as well. So we're kind of in different places for different reasons and really just trying to the full funnel. We want to be in places where people can hear us, see about us. And then when you're maybe searching, you're seeing that ad. So we want to be multiple touch points. It's going to take multiple touch points most likely for conversion. So hopefully that helps. Yeah.
Other questions? President Began.
This might be too general of a question, but coming from the land of higher ed where we love our jargon, do we have any data on what percentage of Oregonians know what a 529 plan is?
It's a really great question. For a long time, I think under the direction of the predecessor, like we avoided the terminology of 529 altogether. And I think I would say industry-wide, like all the various state plans have really, there's a trend of starting to embrace that terminology of 529, and I would say I don't have the exact numbers, but from what we can see from how people search about our plan, that is a huge component of how they identify us. Like we'd be missing a huge subset of people who are interested in trying to engage with us and find us online if we didn't embrace 529 as one of those terms. We try to use it now more than we used to, primarily because we rebranded at the end of last year, and so I think it's a helpful identifier for folks who Embark, as you know, is a much more ambiguous name than Oregon College Savings Plan, which had its failings, but was very clear about what it was we wanted people to do with that plan. So 529 is like a really helpful identifier for us to kind of put together with the Embark name while people are getting used to our new brand and what it represents. But I don't know if you have other numbers that you...
I don't have any numbers.
We could get back to you if we...
It's one of my frustrations, and it's one of the things I talked about a lot when I was running for this position 2 years ago, that only about 1 in 8 kids in Oregon has a 529. And that, to my mind, is much too low a percentage and is skewed heavily towards upper middle class kids and white kids. And I don't like that at all. I don't like either of those things. I mean, everybody should have one, not I'm not saying they shouldn't, but I'm saying there are a lot of other kids who should. And I think there are a whole host of reasons for that, that we're still digging into and we're trying to approach in a lot of different ways because we really want to do much better outreach and make it clear. I personally believe, and this is anecdotal, I freely admit, that when you talk to people about saving for their child's education, they think they have to be saving, you know, $100 a month, which for most families is completely out of reach. And the conversation we're trying to have with people is, can you save a quarter a day, right? Because that feels much more manageable. Or if you're really feeling lucky, a dollar a day, right? That makes a huge difference in the long term for the likelihood of a child pursuing and completing some form of post-secondary education. And as much as we love our colleges and universities, we also want to make it clear that you can use the 529, which is one of the reasons we rebranded, because when you call it a college savings plan, people are like, well, my kid's going to be a diesel mechanic. Why do they need a 529? And the answer is because they're going to have to buy tools and pay tuition and get to and from school while they're learning how to be a diesel mechanic. So that's why you need a 529. But it's a very complicated series of interventions that we need to do and continue to do. And it's one of the reasons we partner with entities like Thesis to get the messaging out. It's a good question. Okay. Yeah, please, Mr. Mann.
Thank you. I just wanted to share, we just provided access to a few survey questions from a research partner. And one of the questions actually asked a small group of Oregonians how familiar they were with 529 education saving plans. And according to this survey, it was 15% said they were very familiar and 26% said they were somewhat familiar. And the balance said they were not familiar.
That's actually better than I thought.
And then there are some additional information indicating some folks aren't saving just because they don't feel like they have the money to do it. But there are some who I think through the work we're doing are knowing that they should be saving, may have some money to save, and just could use a little more information about the best way to do it. And that's where we want to step in and provide Embark or MFS as the option that works for them. And tying this into Ms. DeMonnet's question in the conversation about sort of competition, it is a unique facet of this program. Oregon Save serves workers who work for Oregon-based employers. And there's sort of a limited universe. There's not other people competing for them. As was discussed with ABLE, the only people who we serve through ABLE for All are folks who live in states that don't have an ABLE program, because not every state does. So we're not competing for savers with other state plans. So again, sort of a contained universe. 529, there are, you know, I'm not going to name names in the meeting, but there are other state plans that are actively doing what we're doing here around paid search, trying to get our residents in Oregon to participate in their plans. It is an active competition, and you know, we're not a for-profit entity. We aren't driven by those motivations, but there are tax advantages for Oregonians. There are reasons that have been discussed as to why it may be in their best interest to choose Embark. And the reason this campaign gets me excited is I think we are seeing evidence that we're able to present information to Oregonians in a way that leads them to stay in state and ideally, you know, benefit their long-term financial position with the tax credit and other components of our plan. But yeah, it's an active competition with other plans. And so this work is really important.
I would just add that we do it ethically. So yep. Internally, yep. We're calling it the fortressing campaign, like we're trying to present folks with the information that they need to make the right decision for them, which hopefully they stay in state, but they may choose to go elsewhere. But some of the other states are actively purchasing search terms that have other state plans' names in them, so they pop up first for folks who don't have marketing budgets. It's like,
yep,
a little bit cutthroat. But we are not doing that.
And all but one state has a 529 plan, so that's just another dynamic that's different. So there's really no way if you're marketing outside of your state that you're not trying to sort of go after other states' potential participants. And ultimately, people are going to make the choice that works best for them. We know that, you know, some out-of-state folks have chosen our plan. Certainly some Oregonians have chosen other plans. We just want to make sure when they're doing that, they sort of can see the table. If you visit this landing page, you see the comparison, and ultimately, you know, the potential impact of leaving the tax credit on the table is really the goal, just to make sure people have access to that information before they make the choice. If I may, I'm sorry. The last thing I wanted to say was just pile on with the kudos to the team on the ABLE front. I know, Treasurer, you said it earlier, Casey mentioned it, that the age adjustment is a big piece of the puzzle. But as you pointed out, Treasurer, the growth we're seeing is clearly more than just the expanded population between the marketing efforts and the outreach efforts. Stephanie's work with ODHS and John's work on the road and Renzo and James doing outreach. It's a well-integrated outreach and marketing effort that we know there's just way more people who could benefit from ABLE, and it's just a matter of getting the information out there. So it's exciting to see. And it's I just want to emphasize that it's not merely benefiting from the expanded population. It's really the effort of the team that's led to that growth. Thank you. I'll get off my soapbox.
That's the kind of soapbox you can get on any day in my book, Mr. Mann. Giving kudos to our team, especially when they're doing work like this, is high on my list of favorite things to do. So, other questions or comments on this? Okay. Thank you. We are moving into fiduciary train. No?
Public comment.
Oh, public comment. We're moving into public comment. Sorry, Ms. Malone. I'm so sorry. Who do we have for public comment today, Ms. Lau?
Carolyn, you can hop on up there. I think you're our only public comment today.
Okay. And we're going to keep things tight. Yes. So, okay, that's excellent. Please introduce yourself for the record. Thank you.
Okay. Carol and Kahoot, Local 99 SEIU. I noted that there were more people who were benefiting from the ABLE investing, and I'm realizing that it's people who can realize that it's more important to do it now than ever before. And I like the idea of a dollar a day. That harkens back to decades ago. And I am waiting with bated breath for the total market index option going international. And so that's cool. I think this will give this fund, this group of funds, more stability. Broader footing, and there will be a greater level of confidence, those who are savvy, to actually put their money in our funds. That's all I have to say. And I thank the person who included the next year's meetings in the agenda. I'm not sure, but thank you. And so that's it.
Thank you so much. Okay, nobody else for public comment today? Nifty. Now, Ms. Malone, it's your turn. And do you have anybody joining you, or is it just you today?
No, unfortunately, I apologize that you're stuck with only my voice this year. Kay Cesarani was going to join me today in person, but she had a severe neck challenge. She's fine, but she is not mobile right now. So I told her to stay home.
I'm glad she's taking care of herself.
And Hannah Schreiner, who